Well, I'm just, Janet and I are just excited to be with you again and want to thank you for your hospitality and just the many, many, many areas that you encourage us and have made a list here just because when I'll get in the car tonight, Janet will tell me you forgot to thank them for this. And so just know that I could stand up here for 30 minutes and thank you and forget something, but for the accommodations and the basket, the gift basket, for the welcome you give us, and I'll just say this, for the well-structured ministry that I observe when I come here, that is a gift. I mean, that is not to be taken for granted. And so for your kind and encouraging words, the music, just in every way, special as a congregation, and for streaming the services, even for that. I got a call this afternoon from my mom. She's watching tonight as well, I'm sure. But she's 97 years old. She just broke her hip and fell, and so she's got through rehab. She's still living on the farm because my older brother selflessly retired and moved in so she could stay on the farm and taking care of her, and so I appreciate him for that. So this morning, because I know she can't go to church because she's laid up on a walker and things, so I texted this morning my older brother and said, look, I know Mom you can't take her to church today, but you can watch the services, and I gave her how to connect and stuff. So she called and she said, well, I was sitting there watching this preaching service, and then I said, well, that looks like Dale. And my older brother was saying, well, it is. That's Dale. Oh. So she called and asked me to thank you for letting her best looking, most talented son preach this morning. And so I'm grateful for that. Grateful for your pastor and his friendship and just enjoy being here every time that we're here. And so thank you. Thank you for that. Meet me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as soon as you find that, if you're able, in honor of the reading of God's word, if you would please to stand, and I'll just read a few verses for you. 2 Corinthians 12, and I don't have a title for this message, but I'll tell you what we're looking for in this message. And it's not a long message. It's a very brief message, but I get a little... I'm not frustrated, but I'm over it already. But people who fail to understand that the richness of the word is not increased by the length of a sermon. I mean the richness of the word is the truth declared, and if I can give you. I can give you, generally, in 15 minutes, I can give you more than you can chew on for a month. And so I'm not belittling longer preachers, and God bless them. I was preaching for a church a few weeks back, and this young man that's preaching there, he's out of our ministry at Arden Road. When I was there, he surrendered to the ministry, and he's been pastoring for several years, and so I was up preaching for him, and a dear lady in his church said, I can see a lot of our pastor's mannerisms and preaching in you. And I was complimented. I felt complimented. But then she said, but there's one thing. She said, he must have been absent the day you taught him about the clock. I said, well, I'm not going there. But it's a brief message, but to me, it's a rich truth. So 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14 and 15, and what we're looking for in this verse, in verse 14 and verse 15, here's what we're looking for. Paul gives his testimony in regard to the Corinthian church. He gives his testimony of how he ministered to the Corinthian church. And then we're going to look at verse 17 and 18. And in that, we're going to see what his ministry produced. And I'm telling you that it is necessary. I heard on the services that I watched last night, I heard your pastor tell you that according to a research done recently, that a church, if I understood it correctly, a church needs to grow by 30% in order to stay the same, because they're going to lose 30% of the congregation. Folks are going to move and things like that. And he explained that very well, that sometimes that's God doing that to spread his work. And so we need to be content with that, but we never need to stop being concerned that our ministry is effective. We need to always be concerned that our ministry is accomplishing what we desire. And so in verse 17 and 18, you're going to see what his ministry produced. So verse 14, looking for his testimony. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. And then verse 17 and 18, what his testimony produced. He says, did I make gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? He had sent Titus and another brother to them, and he said, did the people that I sent make gain of you? And he said in verse 18, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Paul gave his testimony, and then he said, look, here's what it produced. I sent these to you, and they came with the same spirit and the same steps that I ministered to you. Father, I'd ask you this evening to help me, and only for your glory, that I would be able to preach in a manner that would be simple and clear and understood, that your Holy Spirit could use it in the hearts of people to seek to minister in such a way that we produce others in the next generation who minister in the same way. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated if you will. Let me give you the two or three things that Paul's testimony speaks of. Number one, Paul had a testimony of proactively pursuing souls. He said in verse 14, I seek not yours, but you. I seek you. Now, we understand that only the Holy Spirit of God does the accomplishing. We understand that. Only the Spirit of God enlightens. Only the Spirit of God convicts. Only the Spirit of God draws. Only the Spirit of God and His power can accomplish. But the Holy Spirit of God works through people who in this case proactively pursues souls. Paul says in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We understand that God gives the increase, but the increase was also the result of planting and watering, proactively planting and watering. And Paul very clearly makes a statement that he personally pursued. Paul wasn't the guy that just prayed and then waited for it to happen. He put his voice, he put his friendship, he put his feet to the task of getting the gospel and pursuing souls. Paul persevered in his pursuit. He said, I seek. He didn't say, well, I sought one time. No, he said, I seek. And that's a continuing thing. He said, I seek. And he said, I'm not seeking substance. I'm not looking for your material substance. I'm looking for you. I'm not looking for your material substance for my well-being. The point of my ministry is not for you to be successful necessarily and gather and accumulate substance. He said, I am seeking you. I am proactively seeking you. Paul led every follower to Christ alone. That's a worthwhile statement right there. He said, I'm not seeking your substance. I'm seeking you. And if you look at verse 2 of chapter 11, look what he says. Verse 2, chapter 11, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul sought or was seeking, or his testimony was that he proactively pursued souls for the glory of God and for the well-being of those that were saved. And here's something that I've been this is something that's very hard for me. I don't know where I got it, but I have the concept and I operate under the concept of the less you know me, the better off you are. There you go. I don't want to put anybody out. I don't want to talk you into doing anything if you don't want to do it. If I think you want to do it, this is not a good trait for a pastor, but God, it's just a truth that demonstrates that it's God that does it. But if I think you don't want to help, I'm not asking you. And I'm just saying that my temperament is, wherever it came from, I don't want to put anybody out. So I have a hard time, when I have been able to lead somebody to the Lord, to take a proactive position of, now here's what you need to do. But let me just show you something. When God uses you to reach someone with the gospel, there is a relationship that is built between you and the newly saved convert that should allow you to encroach a little bit, or take the lead, if you will, a little bit, to direct this person who's newly saved to what he's supposed to be and what he should do next. I remember hearing the testimony. It was a young man who came to our church years ago, and he was in the Navy. And his testimony was this. He said, someone in the Navy, someone in my barracks led me to the Lord. And then he said, and then he told me. Now they were in Indianapolis or up Annapolis or somewhere up there in Great Lakes area. And he was saved. And then this fellow who led him to the Lord was from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he was going to be on leave and in his home church. And here's what he did. He said, now, to this newly saved person, he said, here's what you need to do. You need to go to Dillard's, and you need to buy you a pair of dress shoes. And then you need to buy you a pair of dress slacks. And then you need to buy you a long sleeve white shirt. And then you need to buy you a tie. And when you get all that stuff accumulated, you call me and we'll make arrangements. Then you need to fly to Dallas, to the DFW airport, and I'll pick you up and I'll walk you down the aisle at my church, and you need to be baptized because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and this is the next step. Now, I look at that and say, whoa, you're taking lots of liberties with this new convert, but they don't know. And it's part of proactively pursuing, and there's a relationship built that when someone truly gets saved through your witness, there is the Spirit in them that says, I'm indebted to you. What do I need to do next? Don't leave me hanging out here. Direct me. Encourage me. And this young man did that. And so I'm just saying to you, Paul pursued souls, and that allows us, when we do are used of the Lord to reach a soul, it allows us to maybe take the role of a leader in growth and discipleship. Now, Paul said, and it was his testimony, that he purposefully, proactively pursued souls. And then secondly, in verse 15, Paul had this testimony of being joyful in spending and being spent. Look what he says. And I will very gladly spend and be spent. very gladly, no reservations, excited about the opportunity to spend and be spent. Now, we all understand spending, and no doubt he's talking about giving and the cost of pursuing souls. And he said, I'll very gladly spend. And I'm sure entering in that conversation, it cost money to travel. And Paul had money to travel and gained money, was supported by it. And he said, I'm glad to spend that. But pursuing souls costs more than just money. It costs energy. It costs emotions. It costs comfort. It costs convenience. It costs time. And Paul looked at this and said, I'm glad to spend time to reach souls. I'm glad to spend emotions to reach souls. I'm glad to spend convenience. Put aside convenience to reach souls. I'm glad to spend energy to reach souls. But he didn't just say, I will spend. He says, I'm also very gladly, I will be spent. There's a realm or a degree where we spend our resources, and we're glad to do that, but there's a whole different realm when we are the resource spent by our Father. Here's something that we need to come to grips with. Sometimes the Lord spends us to reach people that we would not be interested in reaching. Sometimes God spends us in ways we would not volunteer to be spent. And yet Paul said, there's a realm here where I spend the resources that I'm gifted with, but there's also this realm of where I am the living sacrifice of God, and He spends me how He desires. I've read the book, and I've mentioned it, I think, probably here, and you no doubt have read it as well, but Martin and Gracie Burnham, and you know how they were for over a year and captive in the jungles, and one of the phrases and the statements that Martin continued to have was, if this is how we're supposed to go, I want to go strong for the Lord. If this is how our life is going to end, if this is how God's going to use us, I want to be used gladly. And he has that testimony that remains today, because he was spent in the jungle by his heavenly Father, who does all things well. And I'm just saying, that's a big step. But Paul said, I have this testimony. I'm not pursuing yours, but you. And I'm very gladly I'll spend and I'll be spent. Then Paul's third thought, Paul had the testimony of being unmoved by the wounds he experienced. Look at the latter part of verse 15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though, now here's a third point, that he's unmoved by the wounds that he experienced, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That doesn't compute. That doesn't 2 + 2 = 4. When you say, no, this is how this works. I spend love, and then because I've spent love and God's done a work in your heart, you love me back. That's how that works. That's 2 + 2. But Paul said about this church, he says, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now, Paul experienced a lot of wounds at the hands of the unsaved, the Jews, the unsaved Jews. And he experienced suffering from the saints in the form of rejection. And he even said, you know, when I, in Corinthians, when I went on this ministry, nobody stood with me, nobody supported me. And a couple of various times he made mention of that. But Paul didn't let the absence of support from the brethren slow him down in pursuing souls and being spent for souls. And I'm saying to you that a testimony that produces the kind of ministers that we desire in the next generation comes from our pursuing souls proactively and being gladly spent and spend and being spent. And I would say this, I believe, at least it's been my experience, that the reward for being spent is greater than the wounds of being spent. I saw a post recently by a preacher, and he's a good guy, he's a good brother and such. I have no problem with him. I just think maybe he didn't think about his post enough. But here's what he said about the ministry. And just hear me out. He says, if you're not willing to be lied about, rejected, abandoned, betrayed, or gossiped about, you're not ready for the ministry. Now, I'll say this. That may be a true statement to some degree. But I just, when I read that, I wanted to yell, tell the whole story. Tell the whole story. There's another side to that, that, I mean, everybody's going to experience some of that, but it's been my experience that the more that there's greater blessings in the church and there are more who will stand with you than there are that stand against you. And I think that would be your pastor's testimony, and the average pastor that I spend time with, that would be his testimony. That yes, there's cost, and yes, there's hurt, and yes, there's wounds. But at the end of it all, I'd do it again. Because those that stand with you are more than those that stand against you. He went on in his statement and he said that one of the most difficult things in the life of a pastor is to know that at some point the people they love will abandon or even betray them. And again, I want to say, not everybody. I made a visit one day with a good brother that was passing away, and he had called and said, could you come by? And I went by there, and I went with some of his family, and it was like there was a nod given from the guy on the bed and to the kids that were there, and at that nod came, they left the room, because it was planned, is what I'm saying. And he said to me, and he didn't lift me up and exalt me above others, but here's what he said. He said, Pastor, you've been a good pastor. None better. He didn't say I was the best, but he said, none better. And I'm telling you, that kind of a brother will be with you in his dying day. And I'm just saying, Paul had the testimony that these folks were wounding him because he was loving them and they wasn't necessarily loving him back. But he didn't let that move him, because Christ standing with you is enough. God's grace with you is enough. And you're going to find that there will be many who will stand with you through some of the harder times. So Paul had the testimony of proactively pursuing souls. I seek not yours but you. Paul had the testimony of being joyful in spending and being spent. Paul had the testimony of being unmoved by the wounds that he experienced. And then the fruit of Paul's testimony in verse 17 and 18. And he asked three questions. And he said, now look, because he sent Titus and this unnamed brother. And he says in verse 18, did Titus make gain of you? And the answer was no. Paul didn't either. Then in verse 18, he asked another question. Walked we not in the same spirit? And the answer was yes. Both Paul and Titus and this other brother walked in the same spirit. And what does he mean, the same spirit? Well, we're pursuing you, not your substance. We're willing to be spent for you. We're coming to for your well-being. And then number three, the third question he asked also in verse 18, walked we not in the same steps? And the answer was yes. Here's my conclusion. If we'll rightly pursue souls and spend and be willing to be spent, God will give those who will walk down the road, maybe even after we're gone, in the same steps and the same spirit. And that's how we're going to assure that the next generation knows the Lord we know. I had a preacher, young preacher call me one day, and he said he was kind of excited. And I know this fellow, if I called his name, you would know him. And he was excited, and he was out of our ministry and stuff. He said, Pastor, he said, I just had last night in church, I had an experience that blessed my heart, and I wanted to share it with you. And he said, now I'm out of your ministry, and I've been pastoring here in this town. And then he said, I had a young missionary come seeking support that was also out from under your ministry. And he said, the years you spent there were not in vain, because I was blessed by your ministry. And then here's a younger guy, 20 years younger than me, that's coming along, and he has the same testimony. He has the same mannerisms. He stands on the same things. And that's, if we'll go and labor and minister, pursue souls for the right reason. Spend and be willing to be spent. Not let the wounds that the cost hinder us from going. You'll see God will raise up people like you that will minister in their generation. And I have another brief story that I want to tell you. And this is unique to Bethany Baptist Church. About 6 months ago, Janet and I felt like the Lord was leading us from the church we had been in 3 years and to another church. And so we went to this church. We had visited it before. We knew about it and knew the preaching was good and all of that. And so we joined that church. And then later found out that our pastor now is out of this church here. And only the old timers, and maybe nobody wants to admit this, but only the old timers will know this name. And my pastor said, I don't think anybody there will remember. But if anybody remembers Mel and Diane Scholl, they were raised under Ross Spencer's ministry. And to me, it's just not a strange thing. It's a blessed thing that I'm sitting under the ministry now of someone who's in the ministry and who has the right character and has the right heart and has the right diligence, because it was ingrained in him in this church. And generations past invested, pursued souls, spent and was willing to be spent, didn't let the wounds cause them to slow up, and God produced faithful ministers that will continue. And that's how it works. But you've got to be willing to pursue, proactively pursue souls. You've got to be willing to spend and be spent without letting the wounds that come cause you to slow down. And God will continue the ministry of Bethany Baptist Church. Stand with me, please. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and the richness of your word.